This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark and I'm the administrator of this facility. Now, I can't face the Empire alone, so I've drafted in a rogue, a scoundrel and a princess to join me this evening. You can make up your own mind.
Stage a princess.
I want first dibs on the princess anyway. Yeah.
A quick around the table then. These are the guys from MovieGeeksFilmNews.com and the Movie Geeks Filmcast, my dear friends. They are...
Andy.
Paul.
Even. I wanted second base.
Ah, too bad.
Ladies first.
You can't get princess. Second base. Right, yeah. We've got.
Are you wearing the gold bikini, Steve? By the way,
he's got his hair in the buns.
Yeah, me if I did.
We've regrouped to discuss trailer 3 for The Force Awakens. If you've been listening to this podcast so far, you'd have heard us discuss trailer 1 and trailer 2 in parts 1 and 2. So this will complete our little trilogy as we discuss the third and final trailer for The Force Awakens. But before we get into that, we briefly want to cover the very important hashtag that's trending at the moment, Force for Daniel. Paul, do you want to bring us up to speed with what's going on?
Yeah, well, I've actually been trawling the web a bit tonight. I don't know whether you guys have had more news than I have, but I've actually still seen no major solid updates. Basically, there's a chap called Daniel Fleetwood, approximately from today, let's say, about 5 to 6 weeks ago from this point, obviously going back, he's been diagnosed with an extreme form of cancer. He's been going through all sorts of chemotherapy and surgery and so on, but it really looks like there's, unfortunately, very, very, very little hope for this guy, to the point where doctors gave him 2 months. Now, chronologically, if you like, they looked at this two-month situation. If they was to the day, almost, he was no longer going to be with us just before the release of the film. And the guy is an absolute Star Wars fanatic and freak. So what, you know, the good people of the Ethernet and the world are trying to do via that sort of via means of hashtag and so on is we're trying to pull the sleeves of JJ and Disney and co to say, let's push a little harder with time and let's see if we can get something going for this guy so that he can see it early, maybe on a pre-screen or a specialised screening or something like that. And Mark Hamill's jumped in, John Boyega's jumped in. I think a few of the back-end co-stars have been hashtagging this as well. It's basically Force for Daniel, obviously all one word, being hashtagged on Twitter, which I've actually punched a bit tonight. I'm going to be repunching many, many, many times over the next couple of weeks as much as I can for as long as is required sort of thing. At the moment, the only news I got was I read a little snippet today that his wife... I can't unfortunately remember her name. I do apologise. The last news she got was Disney didn't want to do anything without offering a final cut of the film, which I personally think is unnecessary. Let's just give this guy, you know, a little ray of something. I mean, crack, even if it was a meal with JJ over a burger or something, give the guy something, but we'll see how it goes. So that's the situation at the moment. Hundreds of thousands of retweets and, you know, tweets and retweets have gone out for this situation. But right now, a bit of a worry. It is TikTok situation because this guy, he's got very, very little time left. So let's pray. Let's hope something happens, that the Force is with him and all that without being, you know, sounding too corny. But let's keep pushing this. So I don't think it matters whether you use the hashtag on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Just keep pushing this and let's see if we can get a result for this guy because, you know, it's a big deal. Basically, Star Wars is supposed to be a family, and I actually think, you know, that's something, hopefully something can get done.
Yeah, totally agree. We absolutely need to push this. So with that in mind, to make it easier for you guys listening, if you go down to the description of this podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it on, you will see a hashtag. It's a hyperlinked hashtag. It says Force for Daniel. If you click on that, it will open up a base tweet. All you need to do is send. Let's get this moving. Time is of the essence. This is the guy's final wish to make it happen.
At the same time, there is a GoFundMe campaign, obviously, going alongside this. They've raised about $25,000-$30,000, I understand, currently. So, you know, we can add a link for that as well and just give that a punch. And obviously, whatever you can do will help.
The good news is that JJ had exactly the same thing with Star Wars and he did...
Star Trek.
Star Trek, sorry. He did organise a load of people to watch that, didn't they, that were in their last days?
He did. I'm sure this will happen. We just, as Star Wars fans, we need to get behind it and push.
Yeah, I mean, the normal situation is human nature being what it is. We like results quite quickly with this kind of thing. It just looks like Disney are quiet, and we don't know why. But we don't know really what's going on. But like I said, the last thing I read was actually a quote from the wife, and she said, you know, currently all she knows is that Disney are trying to get a final cut out. And you know, like I said, personally, I just think I'd sod it, just get the guy in, let him, he'd be happy watching Mattes or something like that, I imagine. Just let's see what we can do here. So,
okay, fingers crossed that'll happen. And if you keep an eye on talkstarwars.co.uk and moviegeeksfilmnews.com, we'll keep you up to date with everything that's going on there. Okay, let's get to the real business of this evening's podcast. Let's talk about this trailer. What did you guys think of the new trailer for The Force Awakens?
Andy? Do you want to know... Oh, sorry.
No, go on, Paul, take it.
I was going to say, did you want to know what we thought on initial viewing, or are we looking at initial viewing versus what we might have read and looked at since, and so on and so forth?
I think it's probably... I think the initial reaction would be a good place to start, and then we can kick it around a little bit. We've got a still store of images from the trailer to sort of mull over. We can do what we've done previously and just over discuss it
and ignore everything Steve says.
Well, I have been listening to the old stuff, Steve, and I hope you've left behind your designs on a remake of the prequels.
Yes, please.
Pretty sure that ain't happening.
Why? What's happening now then?
Finger pulse. Yeah.
Right. Let's go from the top then. Andy, what did you make of the third and final trailer for The Force Awakens?
So it's like a brief description. I loved it. It was awesome. It didn't hit me as much as the second trailer. I don't think it didn't move me. I suppose I thought it was brilliant, but it didn't have the same impact as the second one did. Personally,
is that the Chewie we're home moment?
No, the whole thing in general? The, obviously, I'm talking second trailer where he did a bit behind the scenes, and we are calling that the second trailer, yeah?
No, there was a second trailer, but the one, it came out at the same time as that behind the scenes footage, because it was the celebration. No, the trailer came out at Celebration, didn't it? The behind the scenes stuff came out, I think, at Comic-Con.
Yes.
The second trailer was the one that ended with Chewie, we're home.
Gotcha. Yeah, again, probably to a part. Out of all the ones I've seen where they've actually shown us footage, it was the one with the behind-the-scenes stuff has been the one what's really, as if I wasn't excited enough, has put me over the edge. Put it back.
That was the Comic-Con stuff.
That's the Comic-Con, I just watched that before we started recording.
Yeah, I think that's my favourite. But they're all But they're all great. I couldn't say a bad word against any of them. But that was the one what I think was the one that really got my juices flowing.
Yes. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think that Comic-Con thing really did it for me too.
Yeah. It sort of went back, didn't it? You know what I mean? It's gone old school, which we never got with the prequels.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we pretty much didn't get anything.
Always a problem. Always a problem.
Paul, what was your initial reaction to...
My initial reaction was, what was that? What was that? I wasn't, to be honest, worried about being wowed. I was looking for nuances and what was going on and so on, because the poster obviously was released and you're like, hang on a minute. I'm not going to go too far because you might be talking about this later. There's someone missing. What's going on? And blah, 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 blah. And then when the trailer came out, the second one, we were given snippets before because they kept saying, you know, tonight's NF, you know, the Monday Night Football, blah, blah, blah. These little snippets came out. And I was like, just as you got into it, it stopped. And it's like, okay. So I ended up watching it about 6 o'clock in the morning on the train going to work about 2 hours after it was screened, obviously, in the States.
Yeah.
And my first reaction was like, oh, what was that? What was that? What was that? And I tried watching it again and I was in tunnels for about bloody half an hour. So that didn't actually happen. I then watched it again at work because I wanted to, turned it up a bit. And again, it was me mostly probing it, to be honest. But I got to say, I think my appetite was wet a little bit more again, generally. I'm not going to talk about all the nuances I was looking for because that's a separate discussion. But my initial reaction was, yeah, this is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superb. Okay, we'll get to some of those nuances, Paul, as we discuss it. Stephen?
I thought the end bit with the music and Millennium Falcon was amazing. That did it for me. I'm still not sold, and either JJ is being extremely clever with the old school fanboys, which is the ones he really needs to lend the whole thing towards anyway. Either he's being really clever, or I'm going to be really disappointed. And that won't be his fault or a fault of anyone else's other than my internal romance and relationship with Star Wars. Because if the main three characters aren't in it enough, it's going to make it feel weird for me. And I don't think, and I think this may be either, like I say, either he's been extremely clever, or this is going to appeal far more to the next generation of Star Wars fans and the ones that were around for 1, 2, and 3, blech, or than rather than us. Because I don't see a lot of. It seems to me like a complete handover, rather than reimagine. Like here we are, we're back where we were.
Right? Can I add to your? Steve, well, no, can I interject?
You're my bitch, I'm a princess.
All right, well, I think you better be prepared to be disappointed then, mate.
Well, I hope you're right, I really do. I know, well, no.
You want to be disappointed?
No, no, do you mean that I'm disappointed in my argument or disappointed in the film?
Disappointed in the film.
Well, I think I will be then, because right. I have a romantic relationship going on that probably doesn't exist.
Do you want to, let's just did it square. Steve, make the point clear, because let's put a spoiler warning up ahead. We're going to be talking about things that have been rumoured, leaked and theorised about now. So if you're unsure, that you don't want to hear anything that might spoil The Force Awakens, then you might want to pause and come back to us after you've seen the film.
But Steve, that's a long way.
Yeah,
Steve, attention.
Feel free just to say exactly what you're concerned about. What do you think is going to be missing?
Well, you know about my feelings about Handeye, and I think that's probably, you know, somebody, you. When we're going to get onto the ear, aren't we, later? Everyone knows what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the ear. Whose ear is it? Like, because she's over a body, right? I was trying to figure out if it was Han's ear. There's no grey hair, so I think we're all right there.
Right, okay.
But that's for later. But my main concern is that they really are side characters. I mean, obviously, the elephant in the room is the fact that Luke is probably in that trailer. He must be. He's talking back to that mask as if it's his father. He's got his dad's husky voice. Something's happened to him physically. I mean, that's another story.
You realise the person talking isn't Luke, though, right?
Well, we're in mind games, aren't we?
No. Why?
No, it's not Luke.
Andy, spell out to Steve. Why he's mistaken.
Who is it then, Kylo?
And also, you need to spell it out to my mum, because I got a text message the day after the trailer was released of my mum saying, "What is Luke, the new Darth Vader?"
It's Kylo Ren.
I'm not talking about, yes, it's Kylo Ren, but I'm talking about the person looking at the mask.
Yeah, that's Kylo Ren.
That's Kylo Ren.
It's Kylo Ren, mate.
Yeah, but, or is it though?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's Kylo Ren, but who is Kylo Ren?
Well, it isn't Luke Skywalker.
But none of the stuff is set in stone. They might be leading us down a path with all of it.
Yeah, I mean, JJ's got previous for that, so that is a really good point.
You know, I mean, he knows that this is going to be dissected more than any film in history. So why not?
I think the idea of it being a double bluff is maybe correct, but I think you've gone too far whack. I think Mark has mentioned his theory. Several times to me, and I think that's more plausible. Mark, tell us the theory you think with the absence of Luke.
Yeah,
in the trailer.
I think Luke is the MacGuffin in this film. I think he's what everybody's looking for. So we've known from early on that his lightsaber plays a big part in it. The lightsaber that was lost on Bespin, Anakin's lightsaber.
Yeah,
we know that drives the plot along. And it seems to be, in giant broad strokes, someone's trying to get that lightsaber back to Luke. And I believe that Kylo Ren set that lightsaber in motion so that he can follow it to Luke, because he wants to kill Luke, who is the last of the Jedi, and complete what Darth Vader started.
Just to interject, yeah, but Darth Vader didn't necessarily want to kill Luke.
No, this is
perhaps it's a turning.
Yeah. I never wanted to kill Luke.
This is where I think we've got a case of...
The Bespin, the one that fell down the shaft.
Cloud City,
yeah.
I think we've got...
I'm trying to figure out how the hell where it went from there.
You see it in the film.
Yeah.
There's a flashback that follows the lightsaber from when it hit the surface of the planet all the way back and the trail of devastation that it leaves behind it. There's an opportunity here that for Kylo Ren to have gotten the wrong end of the stick about Vader. And Vader's everything Vader had done would have been mythologized so that it is about destroying the Jedi, wouldn't it? When that was never really Anakin's goal, let alone Darth Vader's goal. It was for him, it was about doing what he could to make things the way he wanted them, you know, keep people from dying, keep Padme alive.
Yeah. Iron rule.
Yeah. And the fact when he realized that his kids had survived, that was what pulled him back from the dark side, wasn't it, towards the end? So I don't think Kylo Ren really understands what Vader's objectives were, but he sees it as being the Sith must destroy the Jedi and the dark side must destroy the light side. That is what I'm assuming that he wants to achieve. And I firmly believe, and I've been in this camp since quite early on, that Kylo Ren is Han and Leia's son.
Mm.
And Kylo Ren is a name given, like Darth Vader was given to his grandfather.
Yeah.
And Ren is, we know now that Ren is part of the Knights of Ren. So almost like Darth is the name, is the title offered to a Sith Lord. Ren is the group to which Kylo belongs. And we see a glimpse of them in this trailer.
Okay. That's interesting.
Very, very interesting. But like I said, your story's quite plausible. Mind you, there's lots of stories what could be plausible, but...
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how Rey fits into this, because I'm sure we've discussed the poster in a little bit, but there is some sort of synergy between her and Kylo Ren. If you look at that poster, you can see that his lightsaber and her staff are perfectly in parallel. And I wonder whether that sort of implies that their paths follow the same route, you know, leading to Luke.
When Leia's is undiscovered, because she's just got a blue light over her right eye.
Yeah, no, these are the other... This is the theatrical poster I'm talking about, not the new ones that came out today, but the international poster.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I was going to say, the body... You know, that was one question. We're going back to the bit with where you see Darth's mask and that. You know, there's somebody getting the Force used on them, which I think is getting the Force used on them.
Yeah. Poe.
Now, did anyone have to double take and thought? I know it wasn't Luke, but it did look like Luke's face from Empire.
Yeah, I've heard that said elsewhere. You're not the first, but I got that it was Oscar Isaac straight away. But I've heard other people say that.
It really did look. It was almost like in Man of Steel when he flew up the light and they superimposed Christopher Reeve for a set. It was kind of, I was looking back thinking, did they just put Luke's face on? And it was uncanny for a sec. And I'm wondering whether he's related to Luke in some way.
I think this character's origins has already been explained. And this is part of the problem with new Star Wars, is that there's so much going on in multimedia. If you're not plugged into all of it, you're going to go into this film missing information. I don't think it's crucial information, but it's stuff that would certainly colour in some of the detail. And his parents have been in one of the stories that leads up to The Force Awakens. So we know what his history is. We're pretty sure going into this that he isn't related to any of the three. In fact, I don't think... I'm yet to be completely convinced that any of the three lead new characters, Poe Dameron, played by Oscar Isaac, Finn, played by John Boyega, and Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, I'm yet to be convinced that any of those are related to the main characters.
Yeah. What's
your guys' take on that? What do you who do you think these characters are?
I think there's a Mace Windu connection in there.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not, I'm not just talking ethnicity. I genuinely think there's, because, okay, I mean, are we going to go into the nuance elements now? Because I have to backtrack.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any mistake the fact he's in a lightsaber battle with Kylo Ren.
Right.
And I think there's an innate sense of, I think he's one of the parts of The Force Awakens. I think The Force Awakens is going to be dealing with more than one character on this film.
Absolutely. Well,
it rules out Lando, doesn't it? Without, there's no Force in it. So it's got to be Mace Windu, isn't it?
Well, theoretically.
No, not necessarily.
I'm just throwing it out there, but I think there might be a Mace Windu connection of sorts.
I'd rather there be a Lando, because I don't think they want to link the film to the first three films in any way, and Mace Windu is obviously...
No, but they're linking it to Generations, Steve, and the fact is they're still part of the universe. No matter how badly the first three films were done, the character situations can still remain.
I think also he'd have to be a grandson, or a great-grandson of Mace Windu, whether he could actually be a son of Lando.
Who knows? I mean, the only thing we know is the guy was, one minute he's a stormtrooper, or he's a rogue stormtrooper. Next thing we know, he appears to be crashing on a planet, and
he's
taken on a different path. So
I'm dead set against these characters being related. I really hate the idea, and I know this isn't the angle you're coming to it from, Paul. I really hate the idea that the black guy has to be related to another black guy from earlier films. They could just be completely original characters, and there's a lot of theories going around at the moment because none of these characters have last names, with the exception of Poe Dameron. But Finn and Rey don't have last names. And
not people,
they're being held back, and people are wondering whether that's because they're... last names are going to be Solo or Skywalker.
I mean, for me personally, it's not me trying to make a link with the black guy. I'd like to see a link with Lando in there. That's why I'd love to see. And unfortunately, colour comes into it when you're looking for a link.
Yes, yeah, it does. I think Lando will up in
I'd
the
love
next
to
movie.
See Lando in it, but he ain't going to be in it, is he?
He'll be in the next one.
Billy Dee Williams apparently is probably going to be in the next one. Yeah.
Well, that'd be awesome.
So I think they're trying to... There's a whole thing called the ring theory with Star Wars, where there's a lot of echoes and stanzas that repeat throughout the storytelling. And I think they want to try and keep to the rhythms of the initial trilogy. So Billy Dee won't turn up until the second chapter, and then he'll be a bigger part in the third chapter. So that might be what we're seeing there.
With that in mind, then, Han could die in the Empire when he wanted to die in the original ones.
Yeah, I'm not even convinced that he's going to die at all now. I think there's a good chance that that is the way it's going to go. But personally speaking, Harrison Ford has been such a sweetheart about this film. I don't want to see him go now. If he was still...
It's going to really... I know you guys are far more it's a film. And we all love Star Wars. We're all emotional about it. But for me personally, it is about my childhood, and it will make it really hard to like for me, no matter how well they do it.
Yeah.
And on another side point, Disney have just announced they're stopping doing the Princess Leia toys in her gold bikini, which is really lovely.
Yeah, it's being retired from everything, isn't it?
Yeah, but they don't want kids, they don't want 13-year-old kids to get boners, which is what I had. Is that wrong?
You just had the one.
All the time.
You still got it.
I used to love that. And why they would do, I hope it's not for politically correct reasons.
I think it's less about the bikini, more about the slave.
I think it's more about the Disney thing.
Yeah. I think there's... I'm getting a lot of...
Well, then they've got to retire the Ariel, the mermaid costume, then, because she's getting them out in that.
But I'm getting a lot of strong female influence with these films, with Kathleen Kennedy being at the head of Lucasfilm now. I think there's going to be a lot more emphasis put on let's empower these characters.
Apparently we're going to see a lot of I don't know how they're going to do it, but apparently BB-8 is going to be actually reflecting some femininity as a droid somehow.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting, because the
gender, she's a large bollock really.
they're gender specific, aren't they, the droids in Star Wars?
Yes, I mean, so C-3PO has got a very very butler type male voice.
Yeah.
And R2 appears to be his pissed off side.
With droids, it's just a setting, isn't it? They haven't got genitalia. I mean, it's just a switch at the back. It's like Arnie's chip.
I don't know. If you remove the gold codpiece on 3PO, you might find a hanger.
Yeah. Or like a gold plate.
You might want to cut this bit out, Mark.
Yeah. Right, okay. Let's. All right, I might take some scissors to those.
That's what happens when Steve joins.
Robot genitalia. Okay, so let's...
That's why.
Does anyone want to make any more points about the trailer?
We haven't actually asked you, mate.
Reasonable and cogent points before.
We haven't asked you. You asked us.
I loved it. I think that was going to be a given anyway. I don't know if... I think I'm probably with Andy here. I think the Comic-Con reel did a lot more for me, emotionally speaking. Rewatching this third trailer, I found very affecting. Especially, there's this wonderful shot of the Millennium Falcon being pursued over that sort of that Star Destroyer graveyard, if you like.
Destroyer, wasn't it? I think did we decide that last time? I think we did, didn't we?
The Superstar. I have it on good authority that it's an Imperator class Star Destroyer. I don't even know what that is,
there was the Superstar Destroyer in trailer one, though, wasn't there?
I think so. Yeah, that's the one that she flies the Falcon into. But there's that. There's this. The theme that swells up during that now just brings goosebumps to my flesh. That is the Han and the Han and Leia thing, the love thing from Empire.
Yeah, it's used a lot in the asteroid field.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So okay. Now we're on Han, right?
Yep.
Rey, do we believe she's related to... Which one do we believe she's related to?
I don't think she is. I think...
heavily emotional about when they're dead, or we assume dead, next to her.
Well, there's two...
It could be anyone.
There's two ways of looking at it, isn't
there? Seriously, it could be absolutely anybody.
It looks like they're wearing a leather jacket.
It looks like they're wearing the leather jacket, yeah.
And straight after that shot...
What, Indiana Jones?
You get Han Solo's leather jacket, which is very much like Indiana Jones's.
Yeah, but there's no grey hair. I've looked at this scene like 10 times.
It's very interesting. It's the left shoulder, so you can't see the red patch either.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's no mistake. But it could be anybody in the... what are they called now? They're not the Rebel Alliance. What are they called, Mark?
The Resistance now.
Yeah, it could be anybody, seriously. And she's just an emotional kind of girl.
Assume it's Han, wouldn't he?
Sorry?
JJ would want everyone to assume it's Han. So is it a double bluff again?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a trading card that floated. I put it up. Actually, I think it might have gone up on MGFN, Paul. There was a trading card with Chewie and Rey in the cockpit of the Falcon, and she looked very, very upset. So I wonder whether or not that's set after. And early leaks seem to indicate that she goes on, after that battle on that planet, she goes on to find Luke and give him the lightsaber. And I think that might be them on the trip to that. So...
I mean, this is my whole problem with if this is what happens. These films are not like documentaries. They're not like a representation of what happens in real life. They're works of escapism. Mm. And like, if I want to have my dream shattered, I'll turn the fucking news on. I don't want Han to die, and it will really piss me off if he does. I'm telling you now.
But there's two ways of looking at that scene, I guess, right? You could say that's Han laying on the floor. And he's been killed by Kylo Ren. And then Kylo goes on to... Kylo would have revealed himself to Han Solo as his son, take the mask off, kill Han Solo, which is what Rey's crying about, and then go into the woods and fight Finn. And that's what we're seeing at the end of the trailer. We're seeing with the mask and the helmet off, squaring off against Finn with the lightsabers, right? That's one way that could go. The other way it could go is that Kylo Ren and Finn have already had their... lightsaber duel, and that body laying on the ground is now an armless Finn, because everyone that handles Luke's lightsaber loses an arm, don't they? Or Luke, they get screwed over somehow. So Finn loses an arm in a battle. He's laying on the floor. That's what she's crying about, and the reason that she's not immediately killed by Kylo Ren is because Luke comes out of the woods with his lightsaber, and then you get the mother load of lightsaber fights right at the end.
I think that's Poe Dameron lying on the floor. He doesn't have to be dead, guys, by the way.
That's exactly what I was just about to say, Paul.
It's just a body on the floor.
Exactly. Who's saying it? Someone's dead?
Mm. Might be having a cigarette.
Yeah, I think...
And this isn't Joss Whedon directing this, so we're not expecting a high body count of major stars. So who's to say anyone's going to die?
I don't mind losing a few incidentals. I would rather... If Han wants to bow out, if Harrison Ford wants to bow out, absolutely fine. But then leave our minds and our imaginations alone and say, oh, Han lives and he goes off and does his thing, whatever. You could just go into mythology. But I don't need to see my childhood hero... Sorry, the cats are having a fight. I don't need to see my childhood hero getting squished. Thank you very much.
I've got no problem with it. Let's hope it doesn't come to that, for your sake.
Shit happens, mate.
I've got no problem with it. If they do it well and it progresses as a story, I mean, that could be the... what's the word I'm looking for? The thing to tick these guys off to get them all going, to get them attacking these new...
the Insight. The Empire.
Exactly. Hmm. And that's what these guys might need, what Finn needs and Rey needs to get them going, to get them out of their rut. And in the trailer, he's saying he needs a purpose. Perhaps this is the purpose he needs to get going.
Nail on head.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's an accident. He's actually almost telling you a little mini dialogue. Yeah. He's got a monologue going in that trailer. Yeah. He's going to become part of the folklore. Yeah. And I also believe it's no accident that Rey is flying the Falcon alone later.
Yeah. So, these aren't serious films. They are a tiny bit tongue-in-cheek action-adventure films. They managed to piss everyone off in Empire without killing anyone. You know.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, does it? What you're saying is you can't not have people not die.
No, but you don't kill off your heroes.
Why?
Why not?
Because that's what the film...
makes the film more powerful.
Christ, don't watch Civil War next year, Steve. For crying out loud.
That's a completely different kettle of fish. Avengers and all that doesn't mean anything to me.
Look at the fact that he's not a youngster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to kill him off just because he's getting old as an actor.
He's an honourable pilot. He might be willing to go that way for a greater cause and all sorts.
Exactly, he might be sacrificing himself for the greater good. Like,
who knows? Like Dennis Quaid in Independence Day. Similar kind of situation.
Mm. I mean, he is the lead. I know a lot of people say it's all about Luke, and it was to a degree, because it was started with Luke and, you know, and Anakin and the father and son and all that. But
it was the story of Luke Skywalker, basically.
Absolutely, but Han's the one you think of when you think Star Wars, not Luke.
Just because he had a finer angle in the story overall.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't immediately think of Han Solo.
No, I disagree as well.
He had a cooler angle, we'll say that, but the story was...
Yeah. I think that you'll... I think
he was a bit of an accident, to be honest, sometimes.
Choose to be Luke, because you could do the Force skirt lift, but...
I think all the films are about Darth Vader. I think this is Anakin's story. All three trilogies are going to be about Anakin. The first trilogy is Anakin's fall. The second trilogy is his redemption, and I think this one's going to be his legacy.
Ooh.
And that's his legacy is what's motivating Kylo Ren. And if Kylo Ren turns out to be the son of Han and Leia, they're invested because they're then trying to pull him back from the edge, which might be where Luke comes in to try and redeem him. But I think Luke's going to have other skin in the game, because that scene... I think we'll break the trailer down in a second. But there's that scene where we see Luke put his hand on R2. I'm hearing rumours that comes after the fall of an academy that he was putting together to train Force-sensitive youngsters. And it's all part of a flashback. Just after every wannabe Jedi has been slaughtered.
All right.
Don't tell your point back, Steve, because I'm cutting all the Walking Dead stuff out.
Oh, okay.
It's too spoilery.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you might as well just stop talking about Walking Dead.
Well, should we take this trailer apart, shot by shot, with the images that we've got in the photo stream?
So not the posters, to go into the trailer?
Not the posters. We'll get to the posters at the end and have a little chat about the posters.
Okay, go for it.
But I've been gagging to talk to you about this, Paul. The music. Let's just start there, because this opening shot, has a new element to the Star Wars soundscape, which is that singular key strike.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the music a patchwork quilt of many, many composers on this occasion?
It is, yes. None of it's Williams in this.
That's what I thought.
None of it at all.
None of it, and none of it's traditional orchestration.
He was probably a consultant, but it's a big patchwork quilt of lots of contributors. But only the trailer. He's still doing the soundtrack.
Yes, absolutely.
Basically, but you mean before Ray does her Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle impression?
Yeah,
basically. Yeah, it's very clever. It's creating that nice hollow atmosphere. She's in that enormous sort of mechanical cavern, isn't she?
Yeah.
And so just that, boom, who are you? And it's like, this is interesting. I mean, I was like, different angle. This is not Star Wars sort of thing. But that was really, really refreshing because of it. They you knew immediately, I think we're going to get a slightly different tangent here on occasion. Yes, you're going to get the normal stormtroopers versus, you know, TIE fighters everywhere. And you can see Chewie and Han got their hands behind their head later and so on and so forth. But just for a moment, we had a totally different environment. And I was like, this is going to be so cool. That's where the third trailer started to really suck me in.
Yeah.
Basically. So, yeah, I was damned excited about that.
Guys, what do you make of that sound design?
Yeah, as I say, it's got... It was certainly different, as I say, on the whole of the trailer. It's got, Paul would probably be able to pick out the nuances more than me, but it felt Star Wars. You know, I mean, yeah. I can't say much more than that. And it felt like that. So that was all plus points for me, definitely.
Steve?
I thought it sounded more and more like Star Wars as the trailer went on. The beginning bit didn't... those first few seconds of that film with her with the goggles on, and yeah, that particular noise, and her going down, abseiling down, repelling down into the ship, that could have been any film at that point.
But that's what's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah, but...
Just agree.
Well,
no,
for me, I want... See, I'm a lot... I don't know, I want Star Wars. I want it how I'm asking too much of this thing, which is how I know I'm going to be disappointed. I want everything to ring true to how I felt when I watched Star Wars.
But never know. Yeah. Crikey, Steve, you're talking the trash compactor versus the cantina in Mos Eisley. They're two totally different environments. It's going to happen. She appears to be in the guts of a Star Destroyer.
No.
She is, yeah.
I just didn't... At that point, I wasn't thinking, ooh, this is the Star Wars I remember. But as it went on, then I started to pick up different bits that I thought, oh, yeah, it's tying together, you know. I thought the nice sweepy motion with the Millennium Falcon where it sweeps towards the camera, very reminiscent of Return of the Jedi, you know, and they're deliberately doing those things because they want to tie these films to the originals. So, you know, they want that to happen. It's not just my wish. JJ wants to do that. He said it from the start. He wants it to be seamless, which is what the first films never were. They were completely isolated and on their own. They didn't match 4, 5, and 6, did they? Only in the story, but not in the way it was filmed or anything.
Yeah, no, there was very little.
5 wasn't planned, was it? Let's be honest. So,
what, Empire?
Yeah, it was never planned. Didn't think he was going to get a sequel.
I think Steve means the prequels.
Yeah,
and are very different to the originals.
Yeah, well, that's a.
But I think the whole ethos. This is my whole worry. See, I know JJ has said from the start he wants to make this not just for new people but for the original fans, which he is one of, which is why I think he's duping us all and very cleverly. I really do. I think there's, hopefully, anyway, there's something we've all missed, and I really hope that because it would be amazing if that's.
Right, you keep bringing this up, and I'm puzzled as to why. If you really think he's duping the deep hardcore fans, who's going to want to see episode 8?
Not in a bad way. I think
that's what duping means, mate.
No. I think he obviously wants to hide the story. He knows it's going to be analysed left, right, and centre.
Oh, okay.
They're not. You know, they might be so cleverly giving us these trailers to build a story that doesn't even exist.
I think probably 80% of this trailer is the first act of the film. And we're just getting tiny little slithers of stuff that come later.
I don't. You've got a final scene in this.
Yeah, but I think that they're few and far between.
And wouldn't it be weird if the film opens and it's Han dying, and then it starts with
the, oh, could have a hell of a job telling a story then.
Yeah. Well, let's shuffle through a couple of these bits. We've got Ray salvaging the Star Destroyer, which is, we saw that in the second trailer, didn't we? A little speeder heading towards that big downed Star Destroyer. This is clearly what she was doing.
Yeah.
Heading here to take that apart. Already, I think, if she's our Luke analogue in this series of films, they've already made her way more active than he ever was. He was a very passive character when we first met him.
Yeah. Do as you're told.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen, or I'm looking at from the trailer, she's on her own. She's not got anyone else.
Yeah. She lives loner. In a rusty, old, downed AT-AT walker.
Nice.
That's her home. I've seen the concept art for it. It's breathtaking. We should see that. Well, you guys will see it because I'm not going to play it. But in...
Is she in the head?
Battlefront.
I've cancelled my order.
Have you really?
Is she in the guts or the bum?
Yeah, I'm not sure where she's set up camp, but I don't. From what I've seen in the concept art, there's not a great deal left of it, and I think actually we see a little bit of it. We see the foot of it in the trailer.
I think you're right.
When she's wistfully watching that craft take off.
Yeah, that little craft take off.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got our dreamer there, haven't we? Looking off.
You know, when we've watched the first trailer, there was a discussion about whether it was an alien's hand or a child's hand.
Yeah.
Isn't that alien now in the poster?
Yes. Yeah. And that's the voice we hear in this trailer.
Because I've
got... Who are you?
A cuddle that is an alien, and he said, no, it's a child. And so I'm pretty much going to get spooned.
Yeah,
no,
that's Lupita Nyong'o's CGI character named Maz Kanata, and that's who we are hearing asking the questions in this voiceover. Yeah.
Didn't sound a huge... sounded an odd sort of candor to the voice.
Yeah, I think there's probably some work still to do on that audio. You'll probably hear that change in the final edit. They might do a pitch change or something because from what I can gather, the character is very small, almost like a Yoda-like thing.
Okay,
I thought you meant in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Big part of the story.
physically teeny weeny.
We see some more elements relating to Maz Kanata in a second, but I just want to jump to this stormtrooper thing. As we're flicking through, the stark contrast between Rey on that desert planet and then the stark whiteness of this thing. If you look on the right up on the platform, if you can zoom in on that, I think that's Andy Serkis.
Well, he's got to be somewhere, mate.
I know he's supposed to be mo-capped, but the reverse shot of this, you can clearly see just to the right of this guy, who I believe is Andy Serkis, what's his name? Supreme Leader Snoke.
Yeah.
Just to the right, you see Captain Phasma.
Yeah, I was going to say that it looks like Phasma.
In the reverse shot, yeah, she's got the cloak over one shoulder.
Yeah.
In the reverse shot, you can clearly see Donald Gleeson's character next to her, with this character at the front making his announcement or whatever. So I think that is Andy Serkis. So quite what's going to happen there with regards to the mocap, unless he's not playing a mocap character. I think we've all assumed that that's the case.
Well, he was in the Avengers when he's Ultron, so...
Yeah.
And he's done some good performances. The Ian Dury one was very good, so he's...
Yeah,
he's
I
got
like
the
him.
Chops.
I rate him as an actor.
Mm.
But that's
just
thinks
he's excelled in the mocap, which is that's where he's got most of his work from. But...
Yeah, he's got his own studio, hasn't he? Mm. The Imaginarium.
Yeah.
So this is, I believe, on this planet. What we see on the poster is the planet with the weapon in its around its equatorial trench.
Yeah, the Death Star planet now.
Yeah, it's a whole planet.
Oh, it's kind of like Terra. What actually they made the Death Star out of a planet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
It's called the Starkiller.
I analysed that, and I found a 5-meter. Main port just below the. No, I didn't. That's not what I mean. It's not a trench, it's a wall. In that photo.
In what photo? Later on?
Yeah, you know where you're thinking you're looking at a trench. I thought, oh, there's a trench there. That's weird. And it isn't. It's a wall.
All right, we'll have a look when we get to that.
Where?
Unless we're looking at the wrong picture.
Yeah, there's a picture coming up later, Paul. I'll shout it out and we can have a closer look. So next shot we get, and we switch over now.
I just wanted
to say,
did you notice the Starkiller homage?
Yes. Yeah, because that was Luke's name originally, wasn't it, in the early
job?
Yeah.
Very, very long time ago.
Yeah. So this now, we've switched up now, haven't we? We're hearing John Boyega's voiceover.
Yeah.
As he's talking about having been raised to do one thing. Do you guys know what his Stormtrooper designation is? Have you heard any of this stuff? Because it all came out when the toys came out a couple of months ago.
No.
His Stormtrooper ID number is FN2187.
Oh, really? I know FN2187.
FN is where we're getting the Finn from.
Okay, yeah. But 2187 is where Leia was.
That's where Leia was.
The cell.
So I had a back and forth with Peter at Slash Film about this, because I was saying, I think the 2187 is a hint to a prison block. And that's what the significance of giving him that number. He didn't seem to agree. He just thought it was a...
It was blown up.
Little bit of trivia there, sort of saying. Nod to the fans.
I think it's because Peter made the point that it might be that he feels imprisoned by his situation, and that's the significance of 2187. But what I firmly believe this, I'm 99% sure I'm right. I think Finn breaks Poe out of his cell and helps him escape in that TIE fire.
Okay.
And that's why Finn ends up with Poe's clothes. And you know that Comic-Con rule we've been talking about, Andy? You see a shot of it, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, you see a Stormtrooper leading Poe down, and I think that's just because they jump in this TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming that there is a hell of a lot of backstory to all this, as you said, and that 90% of people are not going to have read that, most people won't have, not to the degree that you guys do. They're going to have to keep this quite simple, because one of the things with the prequels was that they were ridiculously politically confusing, but also there was so much going on, and it wasn't just about key characters.
That information there, you don't need to know that.
But I mean, in the trailers, they're introducing a whole load of characters. They're going to have to do it very cleverly to make it easy to watch and to entice a new generation of watchers.
But they might, you know, all these characters like Captain Phasma and whatever, they might just be in the movie for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's just another Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, it's like used in the... Because she's, to me, I'm getting a lot of Boba Fett sort of vibes off of Captain Phasma in particular. And I wonder if they're going to use the restraint that they use with that character. And she's barely going to say a word. She's barely going to be on screen. But she might be someone that becomes crucial in later installments.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And plus, Mark, you were saying about that bit with if he's taking for as a Stormtrooper from the second sort of the behind the scenes. Did that not also have like the TIE fighter shooting up the area? Was that them escaping?
I think there was a bit of that in the first trailer, wasn't there? I think,
and that's why they crash.
Yeah,
the damage as they're escaping,
and we see that the image I'm looking at now is just after.
Don't we
John
see what
Boyega.
Appears to be a homing missile, though?
Possibly, then that's them getting away, and they just get shot on the way out.
There's a homing missile in the
and
shot.
And this TIE fighter is a new TIE fighter. It's an elite attack.
Yeah, what's with the inverted colours?
You've got these black ones have got a reverse gunner. So the white ones are one man.
So the white ones are still in it?
TIE fighter, yeah.
Okay.
But these new ones are like the special forces ones, the special op ones, you know. That's what the red stuff's about. And I've also, I have this theory, it's called Code Red, where everything that's got red on it has been reappropriated. It'll be like watching The Sixth Sense, you know, when you go through Sixth Sense and everything that's red interacts with the dead, so you know where the ghosts have been. Without spoiling that,
I didn't know that, but I'm gonna have to rewatch.
Did
that.
You not?
No.
Yeah, anything that
not that it matters.
The colour red is only ever used with something that's been interacted with by the dead.
Yeah.
in okay. 6 minutes.
So what do you think is going on in this film?
In this film, I think that anything you see that's got red on it mm-hmm. has been reappropriated.
Okay, so what about 3PO's arm? By this new faction.
3PO's arm especially. That was the thing that made it all fall into place, because that's not his arm.
Yeah, why? Oh, we'll find out.
There's something coming out in December.
He's going to get shot again.
A book or a comic book is coming out in December to explain that. But
yeah, I mentioned this to you the other day, didn't I?
That's why we've got Poe's jacket with the red shoulder suddenly becomes Finn's. This TIE fighter with the red gunner
port
on it. Does
that mean the jacket was reappropriated or just the shoulder?
The jacket. Because remember, when he takes the jacket, he's taking it because he's in Stormtrooper garb. And the next image we've got on the photo stream is Finn in his black Stormtrooper sort of Under Armour thing with Poe's jacket looking over a settlement, very reminiscent of A New Hope with them looking over Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley, yeah. I actually was going to ask shortly, but you look at it, it's too small to be Mos Eisley.
Yeah, and this is
this is Jakku as well.
Yeah, it's Rey's place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds like a bar.
Rey's place.
We come to some major redness.
Vodka martini shaken, not stirred. Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah. This next shot of, as we switch over now, we're switching over to Kylo Ren's narrative.
Starship, yeah.
So that's a Star Destroyer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, the windows give it away.
And the red, I think, is the weapon being deployed.
What's
going on? Oh, I see. Yeah, I never noticed that before.
Are we on now, Mark? Take me to where you are.
The red one, just after Finn is looking over the Finn in the desert, and then we've moved on to the red shot of Kylo Ren on the bridge of the Star Destroyer.
Mine are all out of order.
It's not really a bridge situation. I mean, you remember Vader used to stand about 12 foot back from the window on a platform.
Yeah, it's not like they're steering.
This guy's literally sticking his head out the window.
Yeah, but it's got that same shape, hasn't it? So you kind of know.
Do you notice all the lights at knee level? Very Death Star.
Yeah.
All the long sort of curved.
Yeah, the pill shaped lights. Yeah.
So who do we think that guy is then?
That's Kylo Ren.
It's Kylo Ren, mate. Not Luke Skywalker.
Or Darth Vader.
No, but not. You can't say for sure, can you, Paul?
Because Kylo Ren's played by a different actor.
But that's what I'm saying. Nothing. You don't know that none of this is all like a massive, great ruse.
Well, there's legalities to take in consideration, bearing in mind all the publishing that's going on, Steve.
And when they bring the cast list out and it says such and such Kylo Ren.
By the way, Adam Driver was never in it, really.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. This guy is pretty much clear. It's clear who he is, and it seems quite clear what his motivations are as well.
Yeah.
Steve, did you see the pre-production shots they did? They leaked out of Luke, which are going to be mostly used in Part 8.
No, I don't think so.
Right, okay. Imagine Ben Kenobi.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Cool. Yeah, with a beard. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, spoiler city. You're going to see very little of Luke in this, I believe, because I think you're going to see him in the last few minutes only, and I think that's why there's such a cloak on the whole situation.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a more major character probably the first two acts of Part 8.
I agree.
And then he will also be fizzled out. I think Yoda style, though. I think he's just going to be, he's going to sort of slowly go away to a nice sort of hermit type existence. I don't think he cares about the whole killing off situation, but you never know. You never know. But that, I think that's going to be the situation for Luke. He's going to be a major, major player. Booming in at the end, briefly, and then sort of he's going to be what you might consider the comfy carpet, I think, for the beginning of Part 8.
Yeah, this is going to be, imagine the New Hope, if the New Hope ended at the point where Obi-Wan rocked up to bow Luke out in the desert with the sand people.
He's going to swoop in and save someone, and then he's going to go, Luke.
How long was Luke at Pinewood Studios for?
He was there all summer.
So, right, knowing what you know about filming, how much would you film in that time?
Not being funny, you've been saying all evening how JJ was going to dupe us, so it would be one of the perfect ways to do it.
Yeah.
Have him there and why wouldn't he be there?
And remember, they don't film sequentially, so he's required on set, even if it's just to read lines for the other actors to react. But there's also the fact that there's some flashbacks in this film. Yeah. Which we've never had in a Star Wars movie before. So he might be there for those. You know, that shot, I'm sure, is coming up any second of Luke with R2. He'd have been there for that.
Mm.
So we got Kylo. We got the Darth Vader mask. Clearly that exchange is him.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's going to be. There's a lot of rumours that Hayden's been training to be brought back.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, as a Force ghost?
Dear. Could be a Force ghost. I think it's more likely that what we're hearing is Hayden coming back for to reprise his role as Darth Vader in Rogue One. Also, I'm waiting. I've reached out to a guy who's the original sculptor of the Darth Vader armor from the original film, because there's some rumors that he's now working on Star Wars again. The only real reason to bring that guy back is if he's going to be working on Darth Vader armor, which says to me he's working on Rogue One. I've emailed him. I'm just waiting for him to get back to me with whether or not he's involved. That would be interesting. But I think Hayden's going to be in Rogue One in the armor. But that doesn't mean he can't be in this as a Force ghost.
Mm.
So then if the story needs it. Go for it.
Yeah, it's all in service of the story, isn't it? I think that we're going to see. I've no doubt that we'll see Yoda in his blue glowy form at some point with Luke communing with him. I've said this from the start that Luke will need to see that.
Yeah.
Luke getting answers from the other side.
I've changed my mind, Mark. I think you're right. I think it is a trench.
Okay, we'll get there, won't it? So then we see Kylo Ren torturing Poe Dameron. This is what you thought was Luke, Steve.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, but you got cataracts.
No. I didn't think it was Luke. I thought there was a similarity to Luke, and as in a family member. And I don't know if it was intentional, but at first glance, all that looks like Luke and, you know...
So what we're saying here, Mark, is this is being saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is very early on because...
Yeah, I think you're right.
This is what I believe.
Gloved hand, isn't it?
That's right, just covering his face a bit there, yeah.
This is what I think is going on. I think Poe's been given the lightsaber by Leia, and she's told him, get this to Han, because he knows where Luke is.
Hmm.
And I'm only piecing this together through bits and pieces, rumours and bits and pieces. But
you're assuming, but it's a good assumption.
It seems to me that we heard very early on that Han and Chewie would be in command of a huge Star Destroyer-like ship, not the Falcon. So what I believe's happened is Han's out working as a pirate again. And there's a lot of talk that they're smuggling livestock with a large group of pirates based on Jakku.
Right.
So the Falcon is hidden on Jakku under a tarp, and Chewie and Han are off smuggling. So the reason Poe Dameron goes to Jakku is to take the lightsaber inside BB-8 and get it to Han. That's when he's caught, because Kylo Ren's following the lightsaber because he needs to get to Luke.
Mm.
That's when Poe Dameron ends up taken into custody, which is what we see here. And then for whatever motivation he might have, Finn rescues Poe Dameron, helps him escape, but BB-8's still on Jakku,
yeah,
trying to get to the Millennium Falcon with its message. And it's, you know, it's like R2 with the plans.
Yeah, yeah.
He's trying to get somewhere with a message and with the lightsaber. That's when Daisy Ridley finds him, and then that brings Daisy Ridley to Han, because she gets on the Falcon and steals it, and we see her fly. Every time we've seen the Falcon flying so far, she's been piloting it.
Yeah.
That's the IMAX scene for this feature, and she's piloting the Falcon in the IMAX scenes.
Why would Han be smuggling if he's married to a princess, we assume, or they might have split up, I guess, I don't know. But why would he back to his own ways when we left him as a general?
They may not be together. But it could also be that he's out there making money for the resistance.
Yeah. It's 30 years later, there's a whole lot. The Empire's not down anymore.
No, part of the
run-up. Certainly weren't out.
Part of the run-up to The Force Awakens, these stories that are being told,
yeah,
Part of the politics of it all are that there's an agreement that's been struck between the First Order and the and what's left of the Rebellion, that the Rebellion, or as they're now called, the Resistance, can stay to the Outer Rim territories, and the First Order, the New Empire, if you like, they'll keep the core. So anything that goes on out on the fringes, they don't give a shit about.
Mm.
So that's where you find Leia and her group, Leia and Admiral Ackbar and all of those characters that we know. They're all out there on the Outer Rim trying to...
Did anyone watch Stephen Colbert's, like, very quick, his theory of what has happened? It was quite good.
I didn't see it yet, no.
It was quite good. He was basically saying that, actually, the Stormtroopers and that side are actually the good now, and it's completely reversed, you know, that type of thing.
Well, I said that early on. When I heard the rumour that Han and Chewie were piloting a... were commanding a Star Destroyer-like ship, I wondered if, when the Empire fell, all the resources would have reverted back to Republic control. So then you would have had all the Stormtroopers, and all, you know, every asset that belongs to the military would have reverted back to them. So then your Stormtroopers become good guys again. Because there were good guys in the prequels, aren't they? The clones.
Mm.
Then they flipped and killed everybody, and then there were Stormtroopers, so now they can flip back. And there's a bit of that in the poster, where along the bottom you've got Stormtroopers on one side in red and on the other side in blue.
And that kind of answers the question about why, obviously, you know, John Boyega's character is not the clone that was originally in the Stormtroopers, because all those clones would have died out. And they're not going to go to Kamino and get a load more clones, because that's all out the window.
Yeah, that's gone.
Might have just joined up, you know, and jumped in the uniform.
Yeah, exactly, because Luke was going to join the Empire, wasn't he, in the first film?
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. Anyway, so we've got Poe being tortured. Then we get that this is my favourite moment of the trailer. The high point for me is that Millennium Falcon flying around the Star Destroyers with that music playing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Just stunning. Couple of nice little shots there.
Can I do a quick rewind?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I'm not sure Han and Leia have been doing much of anything, to be honest, in the time. I think the entire reason we're getting his monologue and the entire reason we're getting the "we're home" is because that is where he's going to start again. He's got the Falcon back, and that's the entire the sort of the birthing of the old Han, if you like. But deep down, it's probably not going to happen quite that way. But I'm not entirely sure he's been pirating or, you know, since. But it's just my tuppence. I think they've been laying reasonably dormant,
right,
and that's another awakening.
Yeah, that's a reasonable theory, because, you know, it ties into the theme of the film entirely, that, doesn't it?
Just my tuppence.
No, that's good.
No, it's a good point. Well made.
Barbera.
Right, after the TIE fighter, we get one of the most intriguing aspects of this trailer, which is Finn and Rey talking to Han, and there's a holographic map. You can just see a little bit of the holographic map.
Didn't know one of those existed on the Falcon, but there you go.
I don't think it is on the Falcon. I think that's BB-8.
Well, they had a holographic
If you look at where they're standing, right behind John Boyega is the seat around the chess table.
Yeah.
Where Obi-Wan and Luke first strapped in. And then where they're standing now is almost exactly...
That's where Luke would have had the blast shield on his head. And
almost exactly.
Sabre training. So there's a big gap there.
And interestingly enough...
But don't forget, this is much later and somebody might have installed a hologram projector.
That's coming from BB-8. I've no doubt that's coming from BB-8.
Do you still like the shot with Han? Do you still notice that they're still using like normal Earthbound props? There's a garret. There's a mechanic's light there on the wall.
Yeah, there's a lead lamp hanging on the wall.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. And at this point where he's standing now delivering his lines, if you look at that image of them, they're looking at Han, right? And he's talking. And then you get the reverse shot of him looking at them. That's where he sat in A New Hope.
Yeah.
And said, I don't believe in the Force. It's all nonsense.
Pokey religions and...
That's it, exactly.
No match for a good blaster.
No match for a good blaster.
Now he's standing there saying it's all real.
That
is a really interesting point, Mark. I like that.
They brought him full circle, haven't they?
Yeah.
Now he's saying
it's all true.
The dark side, the Jedi, everything's true.
Just ready for his death. Like it.
Fantastic. Oh,
stop going on.
And they're looking at that map, obviously deciding where to go, right? Why would they be looking at a map of loads of different planets? They're deciding where to go.
Yeah, I wonder if this could be a callback to the prequel trilogy where they're not looking for a planet, but they're looking for an absence of one.
I wonder if he's showing them Tatooine and so on.
Yeah, it might be, yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting if there's two suns at the centre of that.
Mark, if it doesn't exist in the archives, it doesn't exist.
Thank you, Joe Costa, Steve. That's a deep cut. That's going to mean something to a fan out there. So we get a very Star Trek-style shot of the Millennium Falcon.
It's Walnut Whip.
Is it?
That's a beautiful shot, isn't it?
It looks like the Falcon's doing an impression of the TARDIS.
Where's the Sky Dish?
It's on the other side, the opposite side to the.
It's on the dark side.
Cockpit. Yeah.
It's a square one, isn't it?
Proper cool. All right, next shot.
It's the Knights that say ni.
It's the Knights of Ren.
Very Lord of the Rings. That's all the good, rain on the Uruk-hai kind of situation there.
Can you zoom yours in? Can you see the character on the far left?
Yes.
Do we recognise that character?
I don't see a lot of
Are you looking at a Boba Fett type helmet there?
Yeah, that's who I think that might be. I don't want to get too speculative.
What do you mean? What, Boba Fett?
It looks like Boba Fett.
Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Where?
You know, that could be, mate.
I don't know.
The silhouette.
The Sarlacc
He did get digested over 1,000 years in the Sarlacc, didn't he?
I don't know.
They've all got similar helmets, Mark.
Of Carcoon.
You said helmet.
That looks like Boba Fett to me, but I must say, he hasn't got the eyepiece thing.
Yeah, I think you're...
seeing what I want to see.
You're clutching,
mate.
But
they are a group of possible... They're all different in some way. They're a group of possible bounty hunters, is what we think.
No,
Kylo Ren's in the middle.
They're knights, Steve. That's his regime kind of thing.
This is, think,
but if it's Boba Fett, it would be he's a bounty hunter.
Yeah, but it isn't.
Well, it's yeah.
Mark's I think having a wet dream.
Yeah, that is true. I think this is them having destroyed Luke's academy and killed all the Force sensitives. So
why they do it in the rain?
You can't choose it. You
wouldn't
can't,
that be a lightsaber?
That's the Britain planet.
He's got a lightsaber in his other hand.
And his lightsaber would have gone out.
It does look like he's got a lightsaber, doesn't it? Yeah.
He's got two lightsabers.
It's a lightsaber.
That looks like Luke's lightsaber from Jedi.
Oh, what have I just done?
Open the can of worms.
See, the rain has already put Luke's one out. They're not very good, these lightsabers, are they?
Right.
All you got to do is,
here's a rabbit hole. On them.
I'll meet you at dawn. It's going to be raining. I'm not going.
Paul, you've just found a pivotal piece of information there.
Say that fast five times.
Or it's his dildo. He's found Leia's...
Oh, please.
He's found Leia's Silver Surfer.
All right, so moving on.
Yes, please.
X-Wings. We get a nice battle in the atmosphere here. This is really cool, isn't it? The TIE Fighter... just on the surface of water.
I do like this inverted colour situation. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, awesome.
I also like the idea of genuine looking explosions as well. These things, I mean, that looks like, you know, the real McCoy going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of pyro in this.
Yeah, apparently there was an enormous amount. They weren't afraid to blow shit up.
Then we get a nice shot of the two new comrades of Poe and Finn. In front of an X-Wing. Black X-Wing.
Hold fire. Just to the left of Finn, there's a guy there with a grey waistcoat and yellow shirt. Yeah?
Yeah.
Just to the left of him, there's one walking away. He's walking towards the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. Yeah, that's the Falcon back there, isn't it?
And if you go to the complete right-hand side, you'll see Teletubby Hill.
Yes, and there's a Teletubby on top of it.
Yeah. You notice the X-Wing's got very black detail on them.
Yeah, this is Poe's black X-Wing. Yeah. He's the head of Black Squadron.
That would explain.
You know that guy on the very left running diagonally?
I see a leg.
No, the guy on the very... Yeah, before him, with the swept sideways parted hair. Who does he remind me of out of Return of the Jedi?
Oh, not General Nadine, is it? That
no,
guy
well,
with the horrible haircut.
Not Nadine, but some. He kind of reminds me of someone, but I'm not sure.
When they're talking about the Bothan spies, and she's like, many Bothans don't, and there's a guy standing to Mon Mothma's right, and yes, yeah, it does look like him, you're right.
Mon Mothma's soon to be seen in Rogue One.
Yeah, maybe, Mark, you need to investigate that, and the lightsaber, which you seemingly have missed, even though you run this new website.
No, I know, I should be ashamed.
Terrible, mate.
I want credit for that, then.
Ashamed.co.uk.
Yeah, lightsaber hashtag lightsaber.
MGFN still have the upper hand.
Yeah. Right. So more dog fights.
Then, Mark.
What's that, mate? See him?
No, he's got the shoulder patch. What was you saying about that earlier?
He stole
the Poe's jacket.
Okay.
And he got it at a boot.
He's got reclaimed shoulders.
Right. And a big red stripy flag type patch on the left breast.
Yes, which I'm looking at now in the shot of him and Rey on back on Jakku, which comes after all the X-Wing fights.
Yeah.
So the next shot after that, we get to see Han leading Rey and Finn and BB-8 into Maz Kanata's castle.
I love the flags and the
yeah,
banners.
Yeah, there's a lot in those flags. There's about 18 distinct references in these flags.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism in here, isn't there?
Yeah, and one of them is the Mythosaur skull, which is on
Boba Fett kit.
Now, Mark, is this the castle where Han might bite the bullet?
No, I don't think so. I think this is very early on.
Okay.
When this is where we get all that dialogue from Maz Kanata that we're hearing in this trailer, the who are you, I'm nobody, all of that stuff. That's all going to happen here. And this red robot that you can see...
I was going to say, is this all reclaimed parts as well?
That's practical.
Really?
There's what a. It's actually a physical thing. Yes. That's an actor on stilts. There's a actor of diminutive stature inside that on stilts walking around. Cool. That was actually physically there. That's awesome, isn't it?
Is that the politically correct way of saying what I think it means?
It's
what they say now, diminutive stature.
Yeah, it's an actor of diminutive stature.
I thought you could say midget or dwarf.
No, you can say it. You're just not supposed to.
No, because you can say dwarf, can't you?
Well, if you're talking about Snow White's seven chums.
No, because what's his name off of...
Steve, you're digging a hole for all of us. We're all going to go tumbling into it.
No, I'm not. I don't do politically correctness. I'd rather be called a dwarf than someone of diminutive stature.
Steve, I've got a problem with your claiming there's an ear in this body.
Where?
Right, the next couple of shots on from the actor of diminutive stature in the red practical.
Oh, yeah, there
droid.
Is an ear, isn't there?
There's no ear there.
We'll go straight past Captain Phasma, who looks awesome. And then there is no ear there.
What's
there's just
bit
some
below her cheek?
That's a finger, maybe?
That's her finger, yeah.
Yeah,
her
finger. He's in the same place. She's not pointing.
Steve, you've got looking at this wrong. There's
a
shoulder on the left.
Yeah.
There's a jacket shoulder on the left. There's a head on the right with flecky brown hair, which is why it's Poe Dameron, possibly. But it could be absolutely anyone.
Yeah, I thought her hand was in his hair. On
that
the
could also be Chewie's. That could be Chewie's pouch, right?
Someone said that could be Chewie's pouch, but I don't think it is. Somebody said could you see the little white flecks? That could be a blurred belt, almost. But I don't think so. No, that's a shoulder and a head.
Because in the next shot...
I mean, you could almost make out the eyelash for crying out loud.
In the next shot, Chewie's injured.
No, he's got a memorial band on.
Oh, is that what it is?
Could that not be...
Han died earlier.
He's mentioned it earlier, Mark.
And this is ghost hand. Sorry, Andy.
Could that not be Finn?
What, laying down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that earlier, mate, but I think the hair's a bit too flecky.
It could be. The leather on the jacket looks a little bit darker, but then it's not very well lit, is it?
So, no, that's right.
I mean, all bets are off at this point.
Yeah.
In this shot, you've got Han and Finn next to each other.
Yeah.
It could be either of them, couldn't it? Or none of them.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing that the pictures we're going to get soon with a lightsaber fight. That's got to be end of the film.
Yeah, and this is in the same place, right? The woods.
And you were mentioning earlier about Luke swooping in. If he's going to swoop in at any, you're not telling me in the time of the film's the running time, what was it, two and a half hours, that Finn is going to become a Jedi Knight.
No
way. So he's going to have to be coming in and be saved.
I think that look on Finn's face when that red lightsaber goes off says it all, doesn't it? He's out of his depth.
Yeah. He's just trying to save someone there himself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
trying to save someone laying on the ground or something.
I think he's trying to save himself, frankly.
Yeah. He looks pretty mean on the first shot, like he knows what he's doing. He's holding the saber, right, isn't he?
Well, you would too.
I wouldn't. I'd be peeing myself.
He's seen all the films, Steve.
That's true.
He owns a Master Replica's lightsaber as well. So
that is that the saber that Kylo Ren's holding earlier on that Paul spotted?
No.
So what's the lightsaber in Kylo Ren's hand from earlier on?
If he's killed the school, it could be anybody's. Yeah. It could be anyone's,
but it does look a little bit like Luke's from Jedi, but then it's not very clear.
Yeah, the handle at the bottom does look like Luke's, actually.
Yeah.
A lot.
So we get to a couple of shots of this, what would be the Death Star run, if it was A New Hope. So we've got X-Wing with BB-8 in the back, which we knew he fitted in the astromech stocking. He's a ball in a ball and socket joint.
How's he not rolling around all over the place?
Remember, all of those side panels all open up, don't they, and little tools and stuff come out. And then we got the trench. So I think that is a trench.
Yeah, it is. You're right. The lines.
It's a trench.
It is a trench. If you look above the main TIE fighter in the shot, you'll see there's a corner there.
Yeah, and also the lines that go horizontally do line up.
I do love that little fleet of TIE fighters going straight towards these entrances.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
Possibly coming from that platform in the
tree. Yeah, it does look like a hole or a platform, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That looks great.
Yeah. So, okay, from that point of view, the main corner of this shot, what are we looking at there?
Yeah, on the right-hand side.
Yes.
It looks like it could be part of a larger
ship
structure or a ship, isn't it?
Is
it
maybe coming in with them?
Star Destroyer?
It's got to be big. It's got to be big because... could be the one... You can see the jet stream of that X-Wing going straight across it.
Yeah.
So it's massive.
So maybe the X-Wings are flying out of the Star Destroyer and the TIE fighters are coming out of the...
off the base.
The base. That would be a twist.
We get to see that. So next shot is Rey looking...
pissed.
Really pissed.
She's got a Band-Aid on her neck.
That's hair, I think.
That's a Band-Aid. It's a plaster. Zoom in.
It's hair. It's hair. Yeah,
the hair's gone round and that's a crease in her neck.
It's a very symmetrical bloody hair.
No, I think it's hair.
Maybe her head came off and then they put a Band-Aid on it.
It makes you wonder what's sort of motivating her here, doesn't it? Because she's really ticked off.
Mm.
Defence, mate. Defence.
Yeah, she does look quite miffed. And she's in a jungular planet. I don't know if that's a word, but it should be.
It is a word if you can use it in a sentence, which you just
hashtag
have.
#jungular.
I think we should start trending that one. Yeah.
So then we get another scene of in this shot, this X-Wing that's flying in actually shoots this stormtrooper. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, because they'll go hanging out. It's like the frog that was blasted.
They do like frogs around. Have you looked in the top left? There's one even higher up.
Yeah,
there is.
They're coming out of that structure, aren't they?
And the TIE fighter that's in the massive hold in the first trailer, you see there's a stormtrooper gets blasted across the car going back in there as well. So, yeah, the stuntmen were on double overtime for this one.
Right.
What about that bit on the back of the stormtroopers? Is that like...
I was just asking that. I think that's just glass.
Maybe they've all got pills, you know, like the speaker system, just to keep them busy.
Yeah, it's just a Bluetooth speaker.
Sonos, yeah.
Yeah. Right, on to the next shot, and we've got...
slashy stuff.
Oh, so Leia's really upset here. So what's happened to make Leia upset?
War started again.
Or is that a reunion between Han and Leia?
No, she's sad. You're happy in reunions. I think it's just, we're going to war again. He's going, isn't he? He's going.
Yeah,
She's saying adios, and I think she's saying adios for the last time. And I think she knows it, because the Force is strong with this one.
Yeah, they do sort of play on her Force-sensitive nature in the new books. She goes to Naboo, and she's in the in the palace and picks up on Darth Maul, having been there. I've never read them, so I hear.
So, yeah.
Incidentally, she favourites all my tweets.
She's great, isn't she?
We're big friends now, me and Carrie.
Right, John Boyega with a lightsaber. There is no doubt that's Anakin's lightsaber.
It is, isn't it?
Which means he's screwed. Because anyone that turns that things on, turns that thing on, pays for it immediately afterwards.
It's like the red sweater in Star Trek.
Yeah, it is. It's cursed. This thing is cursed. Narratively speaking, it's cursed. That's a cool shot, isn't it?
He's got no chance. So we're assuming Luke swoops in at this point.
I don't think he does. I think he there's a chance. If it's going to happen, this is where it would happen.
And there you can quite clearly see it's Adam Driver there.
Yeah, in the next shot.
The next shot.
With his helmet.
That's not Mark Hamill's body.
No. He's too tall and lithe.
Too tall and dark haired.
Oh, has he not got a helmet on at that
point? No, that's off.
Oh, okay.
And the only reason to take that off is if you reveal yourself, and if he's revealing himself as somebody's son. That's what I believe, anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, more shots of the trench. Oh, no, I've gone...
Yeah, you've doubled up, but we're going to skip that.
Right, so there it is, then.
Looks and crap. Then a lovely photoshopped Han Solo, looking like he's off of Jenga.
Let's just wrap up the trailer talk. So have we got any final thoughts? Having just looked through those images and kicked things over, any final thoughts? Steve, let's start with you, because yours are going to be the most provocative.
They might not be. I might just go with the flow and agree with everyone else.
No,
you've really gone with the flow this evening.
No. I think it looks great. But do I really think it's going to fulfil its potential for a 44-year-old veteran of Star Wars? No.
Paul?
I think it's going to be way better than anyone expects. Way, way
that's
better.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah, I really do. And I think regardless of... I'm actually a little bored of... Not being really serious, hearing it and saying it and so on. Whatever happens to Han is going to be honourable and it's going to be cool. I think JJ is going to have taken a lot more care with this than he did with any of the Star Trek stuff. It's simply the biggest thing in movie ever, period. And I think we're in for a treat, basically. I think we're in for a big treat.
Totally agree. Andy?
Yeah, same as Paul, really. I mean, I don't think it's going to be up there in the top three biggest films of all time. It's going to make crap loads of money. It's never going to be the film you want it to be, because I don't think anyone can imagine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's never going to be that good of what you want it to be, but it's going to be close. Let's put it that way. I don't like what Steve saying a little bit earlier. He wants it to be, the vision he's got of the film, it's never going to be that, because you're always going to imagine better than it is. But I think it's going to be close to what you want it to be. Yeah. Definitely.
I think it could be the film I want it to be. But one of my criteria, unfortunately, is that I really don't want my key characters, my Spock,
do we keep coming back to this that Han's going to die?
That's what it hangs on for me, personally.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know.
Why? So Steve, anyone ever said he's going to die? Is there any clues to that Han's going to die?
Yeah.
What did kick all that off, the Han dying? What was the first thing that made people think of that?
I think initially it was that nobody thought Harrison Ford would come back to Star Wars.
Yes.
He'd been very vocal about his negative experience on Star Wars.
Even after the first film.
And everyone just leapt, myself included, leapt to the conclusion that if he was going to come back, he would come back and close Han Solo's story down.
It was a condition of signing.
As a condition of signing. We all just assume that.
That's just all hypothetical, isn't it?
There's not one scrap of evidence out there to suggest that that's what's going to happen to Han Solo. It's just built solely on, admittedly, rocky foundations that he would only come back to close it all down.
But on the other side of the coin, Mr. Ford is not really a big fan of publicity on these things. When you look at him, he's like, yeah, no. He comes across as a very pleasantly boring man in real life.
Yeah.
But he has, he's actually been a lot more polite to this film than I thought he was going to
be. He really has. I'm so amazed. That Kimmel video last week.
I'm wondering
he was just dressed up as a hot dog last week.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he saw the script and he's got excited. And he may be, you know, maybe he's just not done any pre-prod for episode 8 and he's in that too. Who knows? My question, Steve, is this. If you were told tomorrow, absolutely 100% guaranteed, concrete, chiselled, he's dies, dead. Would you going to go see it or not?
I'd catch it on Blu-ray.
I think that's a really dangerous position to put yourself in, Steve, because it...
I'm going to have to anyway, because you lot are all booked and going. I thought we was all going together.
We are. We will go together. I think if Han's going to die, it would be done for the right reasons. It would be done in service of the story. And you've got the right people making those choices. You haven't got...
There's a very particular bunch of people that have made this film this time.
Yeah, and no one's got any interest in toys. You know, it's not
you saw that little behind-the-scenes reel. Even that looked kind of emotional, for crying out loud.
So. Yeah.
That's my favourite, definitely.
There are some taboos, like in Star Trek, that's what I'm equating it to. You don't kill off Kirk, Spock, McCoy, blah, blah, blah. You just don't do it. They are what makes it fun. They're the core. That's what makes it a bit different from real life. And I hope he sticks to that ethos. That's all I'm saying. Done.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be disappointed, Steve. I think you're
going to... I hope not, or another moose dies.
Okay. Right. On with you guys on the trailer side of things. I think this was a fantastic trailer. I think the film is going to be incredible. I predict it's going to break records in December, box office-wise, and I think it's going to topple Avatar from the top spot.
I was just about to ask you that. Do you think it's going to beat Avatar?
Yeah, I have little doubt. I think that we're getting to the point now where we're probably... I can't imagine there are enough seats in the industry to generate much more money. But I imagine this film being at the top of the box office for months.
Yeah.
And it would be multiple viewings that makes this film its money.
Do you think that it will... How quickly do you think Disney will make their $5 billion back? Merchandise, they could do it on the first...
I think they've probably already done it.
Yeah,
think of all the this year's hottest toys are already the Star Wars toys, etc. Yeah. I mean, it's
we should have clubbed together and bought this from George ages ago.
They got it for a steal, didn't they? Really, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Right, Paul, are you back? I'm having trouble getting Paul back on the call.
Your force is weak with this one.
There he is. There he is. Right, let's have a quick look at these posters and then we'll wrap it up, shall we? Because today, as we're recording this, you're not going to hear this until Monday, but today we got some character posters for The Force Awakens featuring some old favourites, one noticeable absence, and the new kids on the block. So what do we reckon? Steve, you're a big fan of these posters.
Yeah. What, you mean that Harrison Ford playing the game of life? He does look like he's been painted over.
I don't see that at all.
I'm not seeing it either.
I don't see it at all.
It doesn't look real.
He's wrinkly, he's stubbly.
Yeah, but it's all a bit, I don't know.
Steve, I hate beating you up, mate, but you're looking at so much, you're looking for negativity in this stuff.
No, I'm just making a podcast. I sat here and went, yeah, it's a nice poster.
It's just a picture of Harry.
You don't have to dislike it for disliking its sake, just to be different.
I like it. I'm just making a joke that he looks like it's the front of a cardboard box.
What do you think of the Carrie Fisher one then, Steve?
She looks like she's doing a Zoolander pose. She's just pulled Magnum right out the bag.
I can see where he's coming from a little bit. She's got a Uhura earring.
They basically said, look, you need to do a Magnum to get rid of the cigarette wrinkles.
She does look a little different there. Compared to the shot you saw earlier where she's hugging him, she does look quite different there.
Yeah, yeah.
She's obviously doing something in that picture, like to do with mapping an attack, isn't she? Because
this is where she was at the end of the first film, wasn't it? She was in that map room coordinating the assault on the Death Star. Yeah. And that's what she's doing here, I think, with the Starkiller.
No, I don't think this is incidental. This is the character shot.
Yeah, but everybody's got something specific to their character in their shots, haven't they? And hers, I think, she's coordinating that assault. So she's in the map room.
No, I'm not seeing it. Han's known for the blaster. She's known as a commander and a princess and so on. So they're using that background and foreground as her character. Paul,
if that were the case, why has John Boyoga's character got a lightsaber? He's nothing because to do. He's not a Jedi.
Because he's going to have a lightsaber later in the film. And that's going to become a character trait for him.
You can assume that he's going to be in a map room. Correct, Armando?
That's what I
see what you mean.
I'm reading it.
Yeah, I think so.
That she's in the map room coordinating stuff, and that's why everyone's got...
Oh, Harrison Ford went in the map room once.
She's in the map room, and then the girl, Daisy Ridley's character at the end, is holding up the staff of Ra, and the light shaft is coming down, and it tells you where to put your...
And the light shaft is going past Kylo Ren. If you plug all of these posters together, it's a scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, it is.
Kylo Ren's a Cylon, I think, this case.
Yeah, he does look a bit like that.
I'm wondering, has she got like a reappropriated Gaddafi stick there from a Tusken Raider?
Yeah, there's some fanboys with some deep knowledge of Expanded Universe that think that this is Darth Plagueis, the Wise's staff.
Bloody hell.
Did he have a posi-wise screwdriver?
Yeah, I've just seen that, mate.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a straight Phillips, mate.
That is a Phillips. Oh, my God, they've got a Phillips. Then you would need some sort of attachment to join two bits of metal together, and maybe in multi-universes it's always a crosshead screw.
Yeah, and let's not be... it is actually a posi, yeah. And let's not be... let's not be silly. In Star Wars, they used lady shaves to communicate in Phantom Menace.
Wasn't it a foot spa?
A foot spa on the wall with stuff in it, and Qui-Gon Jinn talks into a Gillette razor.
I do like getting back on track. I do like Kylo Ren's scruffy saber. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's like a bloody just a fierce crappy fire. Spitting off it. Awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Why do we think that is?
Flare on there.
What is that telling us about him?
He's raw.
Homemade.
Oh, could be.
Yeah, made without guidance.
Made without guidance. Yeah, raw, angry energy.
Yeah.
Mm. Hence the exhaust shaft thing.
They're not exhaust shafts.
Because he can't contain the energy, so he's had to have a bit on the side because it kept blowing up. That's my thing.
I just noticed, back to the Leia poster, she's got big hair.
Where?
Oh. Yeah, she's got big hair going up the side.
No, that's a little...
Oh, no, there is a bun on the left.
Mm. Yeah, there's, I don't think it's buns. I think it's more like the big bloody hanging situation that Natalie Portman had going on.
Mm.
She's got the whole peacock aerial situation going on there.
Yeah.
Do you know which characters are at Star Wars Celebration next year? Are any of them going in?
All of them, mate.
All of them, mate, probably. Plus the Rogue One, half the Rogue One star.
So were we, what, including Ford?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
So, I mean, that kind of lends a bit of...
They'd be over it filming, weren't they? Episode 8.
You're dead.
No, whether you die or not, you're still part of the production, and so you can still sell autographs at £55 a shot, Steve, so...
Yeah.
Not being cynical, but that's what it's about.
Right, I think that does it. I think that just about wraps it up. Our poster conversation.
They all look pretty good, though.
Everything looks good. I'm so encouraged. And we won't, as you mentioned, Paul, on MGFM, we're not going to see another trailer now, are we? This is it.
No, that's it, darling.
TV spots, isn't it? That's where it's going.
There'll be TV spots. I don't know how much new footage there's going to be in that, but then I wasn't expecting these posters today. Who knows what's coming next? We won't get the soundtrack until the day the film comes out. Novelisation comes out digitally the day the film comes out, and then paperback in January, so nothing's going to sneak out.
Guys?
Well, look, thanks very much for listening, everybody. That's our take on the third and final of the Force Awakens trailer. I think it's pretty clear that we all love it, but Steve, being the princess, was probably a little bit grumpy about some of the elements. I dare say we're going to regroup at some point and kick some other Star Wars news around.
Cool.
If you're open to that, chaps. We've lost Paul, unfortunately, from the call, but I know that he sends his love. And if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, you can find me at talkstarwars.co.uk. Follow me on Twitter, at talkstarwars. And I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/talkstarwars. Find everything Paul does at moviegeeksfilmnews.com. And that's it for us. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch up with you again soon.